Recently, at the convention of Netroots Nation, presidential candidates Martin O'Malley and Bernie Sanders were confronted by members of the audience demanding that they address the Black Lives Matter movement. Both men missed the opportunity to show that they got it. Instead, O'Malley ham-handedly reminded the audience that though Black Lives Matter, in fact, all lives matter. Meanwhile, Sanders said that he had a long history of fighting for civil rights. Here's the point. The Black Lives Matter movement exists because though it is of course true that all lives matter, in our society today, not 150 years ago during the era of slavery, not 60 years ago during the era of the Jim Crow South, but today in the 21st century, Black lives continue to be more at risk than our white lives. That's just a fact. Black life expectancy is 75 years compared to 79 for whites. Black men have a life expectancy of 71 years compared to 76 for white men. African Americans are more likely to die of heart disease, cancer, or homicide than are whites. There's no complete national database of how many civilians are killed by police and the race of the victims, but some partial analysis of data show that though a larger absolute number of whites are killed by police officers, the chance that a black person will be killed by a police officer is three times that of a white person. This is the context of the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, I'm sure that many Americans feel that the Black Lives Matter movement is arguing that black lives matter more than white lives. So let me say it loudly and clearly again. The whole point about the Black Lives Matter movement is that black lives are much more at risk. The Centers for Disease Control looked at a number of elements behind the disparity in life expectancy among black and white Americans and noted that the group most at risk were blacks who'd failed to graduate from high school. It appears that this group really gets the short end of the stick when it comes to access to good preventive health care and treatment. This, of course, explains the divergence of experiences with heart disease and cancer. When members of the audience confronted Governor O'Malley and Senator Sanders, one woman demanded that they address structural racism. What does that mean? It means differential access to quality education, the kind described so movingly by Jonathan Kozol in his book, Savage Inequalities. And of course, it also means differential access to good health care. And it also refers to the much higher unemployment rate for African Americans at all levels of educational achievement. The most recent national unemployment rates were 9.5% for blacks and 4.6% for whites. All of these statistics are well known but ignored. This willful ignorance, especially on the part of political and other leaders who are actually in a position to do something about these problems, is what fuels the anger of the Black Lives Matter movement. So how do we deal with this situation? Probably the most important thing for white Americans, of which I am one, to understand is that we are all responsible for fighting the effects of racism. Both the individual kind that can lead someone with a gun, whether civilian or police, to perceive an unarmed black man as a threat. Think Trayvon Martin. Think Michael Brown. And the structural kind of racism that leaves a higher percentage of black babies born with low birth weight and a black infant mortality rate twice that of whites. If we recognize these facts, we have made the first crucial step towards truly understanding the Black Lives Matter movement.